She likes to sit.
April, sit in front of that fan right there.
I mean, that's, it's warm right there because it's blowing out.
I'm not speaking, y'all. Don't get excited.
That's fine. He's just
gather in the Lord's house this January Sunday morning to encounter the Holy Spirit. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's
going to gather in the Lord's house this cold January Sunday morning. I think this is the coldest morning we've had in this new calendar year, but I pray that this morning as we gather in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that your heart and your spirit will be warmed today as we worship together. If you are a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day here at First Baptist. Take a minute, fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate as you leave following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching this morning online via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online today. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our today's worship service. Also use it as a resource for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are watching us for the first time online today, thank you for joining us. I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me connect with you later on this week and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Just a few reminders today of things going on in the life of our church, not just this afternoon, but this week. You see these announcements in your bulletin this morning. This afternoon, church council will meet at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. If you are a ministry team leader, reminder, this meeting is at 4. Please be present for this meeting. If you are a ministry team leader and you cannot be present for this meeting, please have a representative from your team to be there for this time. So we can discuss upcoming plans here at First Baptist. Because that meeting is taking place at 4 o'clock, our adult Bible study will take place at 5 o'clock this evening in the fellowship hall. Looking ahead to this week, Tuesday, we have our ministry group that goes to the Golden Years Senior Center. That'll be on Tuesday at 1:30. If you'd like to help out with that ministry team, you can talk to Sandy French this morning. She kind of heads up that group. Also taking place Tuesday, Team 1 for our help, they'll be helping with Joe's Diner at the Alamance Homeless Shelter. We'll be going to serve the meal at 5:30 p.m. Now, you received an email this week if you signed up to assist with Joe's Diner this coming year. You received an email with the new team list and which opportunity, when you'll be going to help out with that list. If you did not receive that email or if you just overlooked that email, I encourage you to go back and look for that email that Janice sent out. There is also a list on the ministry, the missions hand bulletin board as you walk down the hallway, so you can kind of take note of which month you'll be going out to help. You should be only helping one time a year, but if you look at that list and you say, hey, I can't help that month that I'm scheduled for, please talk to Kramer Hughes. He'll help you find another month, or you can switch out with somebody. But we're excited about the opportunity that this brings. Team 1 will be helping out this Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. At Joe's Diner at the Alamance Homeless Shelter. Tuesday night will also be handbell choir. The handbells are moving to Tuesday night. So if you could not come to help with handbells or participate with handbells because it was on Wednesday, now there's a new opportunity because it now takes place on Tuesday. So this may free up an opportunity. Talk to Gay if you're interested in helping out with handbells. The worship choir will be practicing on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Don't forget our January missions collections for the Burlington Animal Services. We're picking up dry food for cats and dogs. We'll be returning that over to the Burlington Animal Services at the end of the month. So next Sunday will be the last Sunday to bring those items for the Burlington Animal Services. Collection bins are at the end of the hallway and upstairs in the fellowship hall. Also, don't forget to pick up your 2023 contribution envelopes for this past year's giving. Those are located in the box in the foyer as you leave this morning. If you are an Elon student, a new Elon student joining us, welcome. If you have a chance, stop by in the foyer as you leave this morning. We have a special gift for you as you leave today. Now we come to worship this morning the one who gave us new life, Jesus the Christ. Let us worship him as we sing praise to him this day.
Our opening hymn this morning is a chorus that we're going to sing called My Life is in You. Let's stand and let's worship together.
My life is in You, Lord, my strength is in You, Lord.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 62, reading verses 5 through 12 this morning. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him all at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighted on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Throw your riches in crease. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things have I heard. That you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Sometimes, depending on what's going on in our lives, we need to find rest. And we may turn to lots of different things, but the one thing we can always be sure of, we can find rest in our God. He is always there. And today, maybe that's how we've gathered and come to worship. Maybe we need that rest. So may we find our rest and encouragement in Him. Let's pray this morning. In you alone we put our heart and our hope, God the Father, Creator and Sustainer, who gives all good things, seen and unseen. In you alone we put our hope, God the Son, Savior and Redeemer, who died for our sins and rose again. In you alone we put our hope, God the Spirit, Teacher and Comforter, who moves us to sing, our life is in you. In you alone we put our hope this day and every day. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift this prayer today to the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. Let's stand and worship together.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, February the 13th, we will have our senior adult luncheon. And this is not just for seniors, it's for anybody that wants to come. We're changing up the menu this year. Usually we have lasagnas, salad, and all that works, but we're decided to do something different for Valentine's, celebrating Valentine's Day the next day. We're going to have grilled pork chops, sweet potato casserole, green beans, bread, of course, and of course desserts. And our guest speaker this on the 13th will be Austin Decker. He was with us back in September from NCBAM. He will be talking about fall prevention and fire prevention. The sign-ups are in the foyer or in your Sunday school classrooms. And I need to know by Sunday, February 11th, who all is coming so that I'll know how many pork chops to get to grill. So please, please let us know as soon as you can if you're planning on coming. But it should be a fun time. The menu sounds wonderful. And Austin, if you didn't come back in September, he is a phenomenal speaker. And he also gives away prizes. He plays bingo with you, and you get a prize. Everybody wins. So and it's worth coming just for that. But food's more important. Now I call on Phil Thompson to give our offertory prayer.
Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are blessed people. We are blessed because you are a generous and a great God. You loved us so much that you sacrificed your son to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us who wants to have that relationship. And Lord, we thank you for that. We know that we're stewards of everything that we have. We merely are caretakers. And Lord, as we give back a portion of what you've so generously blessed us with, we pray that we'll be used to spread your word and to further your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful mercy.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. If you would, go with me in prayer today before we encounter God's word this morning. In a cynical and despairing world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your hope. In a violent and angry world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your peace. In a dismissive and disinterested world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your compassion. In a lonely and inhospitable world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your love. In a grieving and weeping world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your joy. May we be so captivated by your hope, O God, that we cannot help but to whisper, to sing, and to enact the message of your reign, which is always coming into our world. And may our quietly prophetic lives be channels of your healing and hope wherever we may go. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this cold Sunday morning. This is one of those days where it is so much easier to hit the snooze button and roll over in bed, to brew a cup of coffee and go find your easy chair, settle in it for a cold winter's day, to simply find the sunshine as it beams through your window and sit in it and not worry about what's going on outside. Yesterday, as I was watching the weather and seeing how cold as it was, I had to text two of our church members to ask for their assistance with something this morning. And I quickly got a quick text back, and I'm going to call you out, Tommy Hill, this morning. So when I text individuals, sometimes I get straightforward answers back. But however, when I text Phil Thompson and Tommy Hill, these are these two gentlemen on my right over here, I never know what I might get back from them. So I texted them. I said, "Guys, I need your help tomorrow with something. Can you help out?" Tommy Hill must have had his phone ready and ready to go. And he said, "Well, you know how cold it's going to be tomorrow. I may not be able to make it out tomorrow to church." And I quickly replied back, "Well, Tommy, I think it's pretty cold out too. I may watch church on Facebook Live as well." But he made it, and I knew he would. Again, it is a cold day, and I'm glad that you all decided to join me in the sanctuary today. It's much warmer in this place having you with us. But for those that are watching online, I hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee in your pajamas watching the service today. It is good to gather in the Lord's house. My hope is that our worship, being in the presence of God, has already been rewarding this morning. Today I continue the sermon series I began last week, 2024, A Towel Year. I believe as we seek to become new creations in this new year, that each of us, and as a congregation, we are being challenged to pick up some specific towels that will assist us in becoming who Christ wants us to be in Him. Last week we were challenged to pick up the grudge towel. That's right, the grudge towel. Wiping away the grudges or broken relationships we might have in our lives. Seeking to offer forgiveness to others as we start out this new year with a fresh slate. This morning, I once again challenge you to pick up a towel, a different towel. And this next towel is the towel of hope. Or healing. I've shared with you before that when I struggle to fall asleep at night, I probably do one of the worst things that doctors will tell you to do. I turn on the TV and I start channel surfing. You shouldn't do this. Don't do as I do. This is what I do. So one night as I was struggling to sleep, I turned on the tube and I came across a show that I immediately became intrigued by. It's the show called Deadliest Catch. Anybody ever watched Deadliest Catch before? Raise your hand. Pretty interesting show, right? You're just drawn into the characters. Well, if you have not had a chance to watch Deadliest Catch, it is a story that follows the lives of crab fishermen in Alaska. Considering one of the deadliest jobs in the world, these fishermen climb on boats in the coldest temperatures, colder than what we're experiencing today, to fish for crab on the depths of the Bering Sea using crab pots. They fight off rogue waves, accumulating ice on their boats, and fighting off ice drifts to catch some of the crab that you might enjoy at your local seafood restaurants. As we go out and eat for lunch. So anyway, on this one episode that I was watching late at night, they were highlighting the Coast Guard responders who assist when these boats and fishermen get in trouble. So when they're in peril, they have to call on the Coast Guard out of Alaska to come out and help. And it takes a while for these Coast Guard helicopters to get where these fishermen go. So in this case, this evening, one of the crab ships had lost control of its steering, sending the ship basically into an ice field on the water. Out of control, the captain and the first mate were swept overboard into the sea. Now, being in the cold water at that time, for over an hour, they can lose their lives. While the two fishermen are being beaten and crushed into the ice floe and literally freezing to death, the Coast Guard quickly arrived on scene in their helicopter. Sending down a basket from the helicopter, they were able to successfully rescue both fishermen, saving their lives. Incredible. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm watching this boat. I'm watching these Coast Guard rescuers, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm supposed to be trying to go to sleep here, and my heart's just pumping. It's just racing. What am I doing? So in an interview from his hospital bed, the captain thanked the Coast Guard rescuers and said about their ordeal, "We broke our rudder on the ship, and with no rudder, we had no control of where we were going. We couldn't control where the ship went, so we were driven into the ice pack, and it broke us apart." A ship without a rudder is useless. It will be driven by the wind and waves, and eventually it will be torn apart. When Jesus picked up the towel in John 13 to wash his disciples' feet, he was asking his crew to put their hands on the same rudder that had directed his life and now would direct his death. After the resurrection, he would only have a very brief amount of time with them before ascending to heaven. He was leaving the ship that he had established under their control. So he said this, and this is the command he gave them before he ascended into heaven. "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The mission of the church is its rudder, guided by the Holy Spirit. It guides and gives us direction, even in the winds and storms that might come. From the very beginning of his ministry on earth, Jesus was guided by his mission to redeem the broken world.
His rudder was firmly in the water, guided by this mission. He left the church's rudder in the water, guided by the Holy Spirit, for us to pick up that mission and take that same mission to the world. Now, each one of us individually, as part of the larger Christian church, has been left with that guiding spirit as well, with a mission. As his passionate people, to pick up the hope and healing towel and share the hope of Jesus with others. If you don't believe me, listen to his very words as he began this mission. If you have your Bibles with you, let's read what Jesus says about his mission and responsibility of carrying this hope to the world in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 30. The verses will be displayed on the screen, worship screens behind me this morning. You have the Bibles, you can turn to it as well. There's pew Bibles in the pew as well this morning. This passage takes place immediately after Jesus has been baptized, and then he's been tempted, swept out into the desert or the wilderness by the devil. And he comes back, this event immediately occurs. He begins his ministry by returning to his hometown. Reading Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 30 this morning. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard him. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down from the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Just as Jesus was passionate about bringing hope to the world, we too must be passionate about picking up the hope and healing towel for him. Now, some keys to remember in using this towel, some very important things we've got to remember. The very first thing we have to remember is this: our passion, the passion that we have, always influences what we pursue. You will not pursue anything that you're not passionate about. Just think about this. Isn't this true? As most of you know, I am a diehard Duke basketball fan, so I'm a little bit in mourning this morning after a tough loss last night. But as you know, some of the fans for Duke, the Cameron Crazies, the students there, will camp outside during the coldest temperatures in the state of North Carolina at any time for up to 8 weeks at a time to score one single ticket to watch one single basketball game, and that is the Duke versus North Carolina game that is held at Cameron Indoor Stadium every year. 8 weeks at a temperatures like this. Are you willing to do that? If you're passionate about Duke basketball, you do. That's passion. But that's not just the only passion. We all know people who have sat in line on Thanksgiving Thursday night waiting for the doors to open at Best Buy at on Black Friday morning at whatever time their doors open to splurge and get that TV that we've always wanted for $200, right? Well, if we waited till Saturday and we could get it for $220, that $20 is worth it, right? Right? We'll do it, right? You will if you're passionate about it. We've all remember our parents who will jump from store to store at Christmas time to find that hot new toy for a given season, whether it was the Slinky back in the 50s and the 60s, or whether it was the Beanie Baby Bear that nobody could get their hands on, or maybe it was the Tickle Me Elmo doll that came out during the Christmas time, or maybe it was that first Game Boy video game, or the Nintendo Wii, or the Furby. You name the toy, our parents have done it. Now, most normal people would say, no, I wouldn't do that. Or most people will say, I would just sit on Amazon right now and type it in and just hit enter right now. You would if you were passionate about it. Passion is loving something on steroids. Yeah, you heard me right. Passion is loving something on steroids. You will fight for it, sacrifice for it, even die for what you're really, really passionate about. Passion makes you step out of the landing craft on D-Day in Normandy. Passion makes you run into a burning building to save your children. Passion directs you to sell everything you have to start a new business or to win the girl that you love. Passion is not liking something. It is much, much bigger. This is what Jesus felt about this world. Passion is what drove him here to the earth in the first place. That's passion. That is why he came to bring hope and to heal this world. Our passion as Christians is spiritually produced and spiritually sustained. Did you hear it? Spiritually produced and spiritually sustained. It's not what we do, it's what the Holy Spirit does. Just as Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord must be upon us, anointing us, or there will be no passion for the lost and broken people of this world. And this new commandment that we hear from Jesus, to love people, to love others, is clearly the rudder that is to guide our ship, guided by the Holy Spirit, the church's ship and our individual ship. Because without a doubt, it was the rudder that guided his ship. Luke 4 was the official launching of Jesus' ship. It was the mission statement of the Messiah. It is about people, poor people, imprisoned people, blind people, oppressed people, broken people. When Jesus rolled up the scroll, reading the prophecy from Isaiah 61, and then he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled as you're hearing," he was saying the mission is finally here. Today, the hope of the poor, the imprisoned, the blind, the oppressed people is here. This has to be our spiritual passion. It has to be the passion of the people of the church as well. Our passion has to be for the broken, just as Jesus' passion was for the broken. Is that where our passion lies? Or does our passion lie in just being comfortable? Maybe for many Christians, their passion began with an outward obedience to be baptized and to join the church, but there was no real passion about carrying out that mission that Christ has left us with. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide that mission. The Spirit should be guiding our rudder. Folks, there is no such thing as a non-Spirit-filled and influenced Christian. They do not exist. To be in Christ is to be guided by the Spirit. Our mind in Christ is kept on course and directed by the Spirit, not by the world. Churches that end up spiritually like that Alaskan crab ship that was thrown into the ice have lost sight of the rudder or are piloted by people who do not think we really need to have someone directing us in the first place. Or they think they should be directing us instead. They can drift along for a while. Churches will drift along for a while, but eventually they will crash. And the crew will be swept overboard. And there will be no Coast Guard to rescue them. Since we are to be directed by the mind of Christ and guided by the Holy Spirit, we should also remember the second key in using the hope and healing towel. And that is this, that the church, the Christian church, is a rescue boat. It's not a cruise ship. How many of you here have been on a cruise ship before? Raise your hand. You know, I've never been on an overnight cruise ship. I've been on those day cruise ships. Never been on an overnight cruise ship. But in talking with individuals who have been, I've always heard two important things about cruise ships. One, it seems that everyone on a cruise ship staff exists to serve you, to make your trip comfortable. And two, that the meals, the food, are absolutely incredible. That's what I always hear, right? Shake your head if you've been on a cruise and that's been pretty much your experience. Okay, so what I've heard is true. All right, for those who have been on a cruise ship, for those who haven't been on a cruise ship, the church is not a cruise ship. Unfortunately, a lot of people today think that the church is supposed to be that experience as well. If they serve good food and you feel comfortable, that's the church that I want to go to. That's not what a church is supposed to be. I think primarily because the rudder has been broken in those churches. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Paul would not have told us not to if it were not possible. That it's possible for the Spirit to be quenched. The question that each church and each believer must answer is this. What is the motive for wanting the Holy Spirit guiding us in our lives? Francis Chan in his book, Forgotten God, says this. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity to be bought or traded according to our individual's wants, whims, or even just need. You cannot have a real discussion about the Holy Spirit without calling our motives into question. Why do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it for power? Is it for your own betterment and purposes? Or is it because you want to experience all that God has for you? Is it because you love the church and desire to be a better servant? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that each true follower of Christ is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Gifts apportioned to each individual as He wills. The Holy Spirit is very intentional. He has a purpose and He has a passion. And His purpose and passion is to build up the church, to make disciples, and to carry that hope to the broken world. He never convicts us, calls us, and fills us so we can be on a cruise ship so we can feel comfortable. It is always so we can be equipped to rescue people like the Coast Guard vessel. He never asks us to pick up the hope healing towel so we can lay it out on the deck of the cruise ship and get a good suntan. That's not what this towel is about. He wants us to pick it up so we can wash, wipe clean, and to heal the dirty, broken feet. The feet of the poor. The feet of the imprisoned. The feet of the blind. The feet of the oppressed. The broken of the world. So if that is not what is happening in your life today, then the question is, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? Or is the Holy Spirit there at all? Satan is a cruise ship director. The Holy Spirit is a trainer of medics for the rescue boat. What are you going to do with the towel that you pick up? Who are you going to follow? We know which one is easier. We know which one is easier. But we all know which one is more fulfilling. In closing this morning, I attended a minister's conference some years back. At the conclusion of this conference, the conference leader closed in an interesting way. I'm going to close the same way this morning. I need three volunteers. Raise your hand if you'd be a volunteer. Phil, Sally, Brian, come up here, please. I always tell my youth that I used to be in youth, never volunteer for something you don't know what I'm going to ask you to volunteer for. Thank y'all for volunteering for something. actually, I'm going to have y'all stand down here on the floor. Kind of stand. Brian, stand in the middle. Phil, if you'll go on that side. And Sally, you stand on this side. I'm going to give you three things that I need you to show the individual. Phil, slide over a little bit to that side. All right, so in this conference that I attended, it was about church growth and leadership. How does the church grow in the world in which we live today? And basically it said this individual had done some research and said, all right, so Jesus spent time with three specific groups while he is ministering on this earth. Three distinct groups. And so he called three individuals up, and these individuals represent these three groups as a whole, and these individuals do not represent these groups, because I feel real bad about it, especially since I called our chairman of the deacons to stand in the middle, and he's not going to be the good one. All right, so the first group that is represented is going to be Phil here, since he's my troublemaker sometimes. He's the hardcore lost. And just hold it up that way. Don't show the backside to anybody else. All right, so hardcore lost of this world. These are the individuals in our world that have no relationship with God at all. Hardcore lost. This is one group that Jesus spent time with. The second group that Jesus spent time with are what we would call the lukewarm individuals. Lukewarm individuals. They claim to be believers, but there is no sign or evidence of any type of commitment. And Brian, I'm going to give you that. Just hold that straight forward there. The third group would be the true disciples. These are those that are fully committed, who are following and bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So Sally, you represent that third group. All right, so these three groups are the groups that Jesus spent time with on his ministry on earth when he was here. Now, the question he asked the group was this: how much time, percentage of time, did Jesus spend with each group while he was here on earth? So I'm going to ask the congregation the same question he asked us. How much time do you think Jesus spent with the hardcore lost while he was here on this earth? Anybody have a number? Guess the percentage. We're saying percentage of his time. Anybody? 50. All right, 50%. Anybody else? 75. What did I hear up here? 80. All right. 40. I know. Like I said, don't look at the numbers on the back of the thing. Don't be those people. I'll put you in the group. There it goes. All right. All right. Okay. So Phil, flip your card over. What does it say? Jesus spent almost 50% of his ministry time on earth with the hardcore lost. The ones that we would say, these are sinners. Those that were the broken people, the one we talked about in Scripture today. Almost 50% of his time were spent with the lost of this world. All right, so how many people... I'm going to skip you, Brian. I'm not going to go to you again. All right, now let's talk about the groups that are the devoted followers, those that are committed to Jesus Christ, the committed in their faith, they're producing fruit for the kingdom. How much time do you spend with this group? 10%? 70? 40%? 20? 20? All right, Sally, flip yours. Jesus spent almost 50% of his time with the ones that we were called committed followers of Christ. Those that were bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Almost 50%. Now, I did not major in math, but, and some of you do and did not, but if you've got almost 50% spent with the hardcore sinners and almost 50% spent with the true followers of Him, how much do you think is in the middle? Less than 1% with the lukewarm individual. And so I close my sermon with you to you asking this question today. If Jesus spent 50% with those that were lost and broken, and he spent 50% with those that are committed followers, equipping his disciples, what is the church supposed to do? If this is what Jesus did, and he left us to do the exact same thing, what are we supposed to do? The exact same thing. We're supposed to equip those believers, to equip them and prepare them to go out into the world and make a difference for the broken, those that are hurting, those that need to feel the towel of hope and healing. What does our church do? What do you do individually? That's a question individually you have to ask today. But as a church, that's a hard question that we need to ask ourselves. Because I have a feeling we have more than less than 1% in the middle here. That's why it's so important to pick up the hope and healing towel. That's why it's so important to not leave it sitting on the table, not thinking to ourselves, somebody else will do that part to those that are hurting. That's why it's important for us to not say to ourselves, well, I did it for so and so many years. Now it's somebody else's job to do it. It's everyone's responsibility. Because when we do, we start making a difference in the world. Think about those numbers as we pray. And thank you guys. Y'all can place those on the table. Let's pray. Father, Jesus taught us what to do. He modeled what to do. He showed us what to do. From the very beginning of his ministry, he told us what to do. Are we willing to do the exact same thing? Are we willing to be equipped and to then pick up the hope and healing towel and take it to the world? That's what we're challenged to do. Father, maybe we'd be willing to pick it up and go. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing today, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today for the first time you recognize that you're a part of that group that's broken, that's hurting, that needs the healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. I'll be down front. Let me come and talk to me about what it means to embrace Him as your Savior for the first time. Or maybe you're looking for a church family that's seeking to follow that model of Christ, of what He did and what He's done and what He's modeled for us to do. First Baptist Elon could be a home for you. Or maybe today you're just struggling. Maybe you're battling what individually you're doing with these numbers or picking up this towel. Maybe you're struggling with something that's going on inside. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're broken. You just need to pray. I'll pray with you. Come to the altar. The altar is always open. Whatever it is today, let's make that commitment today. Don't put it off. Lift that prayer to Him. Let's stand and sing in closing. Today, know you go into a world with a lot of brokenness and hurt. Pick up that towel. Be the one that Christ has called you to do and take that hope to the world. Go in peace.